Councilor O'Brien has written the chamber. Item 10.2, Tunstall Square. Two petitions objecting to the close of the Beverly Street entrance. Do I have a mover for this item? Councilor Haynes.
No, I move that the recommendation be adopted.
A seconder?
Seconded by Councilor Galbally. Councilor Haynes.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Where do I start? I actually, the Tunstall Square Shopping Centre is a shopping centre that we all, well, I use frequently, and I'm looking forward to the process that will take to put forward the plan that we have as a structure plan to close that street. But before that, there is a lot to be considered in the circumstances, and nothing else has changed as far as our structure plan has gone, so therefore the response to the petitions will show that through the documents. And the closing of the Beverly Street entrance, also known as Shore Street, will allow for public plaza and community gathering spaces to be created in Tunstall Square. But before that's possible, there's a statutory process in place, and I'd like to remind everyone that a separate report in relation to the process required to close that one-way road of Beverly Street will be presented at the December Council meeting. This will allow further feedback from the Tunstall Square traders, stakeholders, community around the area, and to be part of that process. And in the meantime, Council will continue to work with the property owners and the traders to ensure the best possible outcome for the centre and the local community. And I look forward to continuing to talk to traders, residents, and anybody that wants to give us a call and email to be able to make sure that we all understand what it is that is possible and with this change.
Thank you. Councilor Galbally.
Nothing to add, thank you.
Anyone speak against? Councilor Downey.
I have some concerns about point B in, but we're going to close the street. I'd like to think that we could be a bit like Maribyrnong Council, who I believe are now looking at their parking meters and are thinking of having an amnesty over Christmas to see if it works without the parking meters. And I would like to see us follow the original officer recommendation from way back that we do a temporary closure of a street, and maybe that would show us whether it really works or not. It would show the shopkeepers who are concerned about it being closed that maybe it's not as bad as they anticipate. It could quite possibly be that we will eventually close the street, but at least it would give people that opportunity to see what it was like without the definite decision being made. So that's my one concern with this bit that we...
Councillor Downey, we don't make a decision tonight. We only consider the petition on it.
Yep. But, you know, that's the petition is not to close it, so it's my thoughts.
You asking for the petition to be considered? So you're supporting it?
Yeah. Then she speak against. So anyone speak in favour? Is there anyone? If not, Councillor Haynes, do you like to wrap
thank
up?
You. Thank you. Again, I ask all councillors to have a look at the report and what this is about the two petitions objecting to the closure and their concerns, and I look forward to working through the process to be able to deal with all of the traders, the public and all stakeholders at this to look at what is going forth in the future and how the changes will benefit everybody.
Thank you. Okay, I'll now put the motion. All those in favour? Against, lies carried. Item 11, Access and Engineering. Item 11.1, Melbourne Hill Road Catchment Study Resource Concept Adoption. Do I have the mover? Councillor McLeish.
Madam Mayor, I move that the recommendation be adopted.
Do I have a seconder? Seconded by Councillor Griboukos-Dopoulos. Councillor McLeish.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, it would be easy for me to step back from this issue and not say what I have to say, to not express a view, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stand by what I think, and I'm going to speak accordingly. Our council has, in my view, a responsibility. We have a responsibility to ensure that drainage systems exist for residential properties. That's our job. And it's something that has been said many, many times in the development of the proposals around this particular project. The council has to fulfil that responsibility. It's been said by both sides, and I don't like to describe it as sides, but by both points of view, perhaps, on this issue, that we need to have drainage systems in our municipality that deal with floodwater, that deal with stormwater. We considered this 17 months ago, and we made a decision to look harder at the proposal, to look for more environmentally considerate options for this particular catchment. And we've looked long and hard. We've spent a small fortune doing it. We've spent $136,000 looking at alternatives. But when it came down to it, we couldn't find any wonderful environmentally sustainable solutions. They weren't there. The ones that were there really didn't deal with the problem, and they shifted responsibility inequitably to other people. And as a result, some of those proposals haven't been recommended. In the end, it came down to only two proposals of the five that were considered that seemed to be capable of dealing with the vast majority of the stormwater in this catchment. But unfortunately, there's a marked difference between those two proposals. The scheme that's been recommended deals with 79% of the uncontrolled water flow. The alternate scheme that comes closer deals with 58% of the uncontrolled water flows, 21% different, one-fifth of the water in the catchment in a 100-year event, not dealt with, one-fifth more, taking us to over 40% of the water in a 100-year event not being dealt with. I don't believe that's acceptable. I don't believe we as a council can credibly say we are dealing with the issues in this catchment if we are leaving that much uncontrolled water flow in the catchment, leaving the residual risk that comes from that. We are accountable for that risk. We are accountable for the safety of our residents, and we are accountable for dealing with this issue. It will be 2 years at least before this issue gets built completely, at least. We're already 17 months behind where we started. We need to deal with this issue, start the process to deal with this issue now. We need to make this decision. There are two more decisions ahead of the council if this decision is supported tonight. We need to deal with the stormwater from the 125 or so properties in this catchment. 125 properties, that's a significant number of properties in a catchment where the overall catchment does not have effective water management. And we as a council are required to consider the catchment overall. We're not allowed to consider this little bit or that little bit. We have to consider the catchment. That's our job. And if we take the second option, the one that gets close, there'll be 30 properties in the catchment, that's nearly a quarter, that will not have a point of discharge. 30 properties where people will come and buy those properties thinking, I can develop that property, and when they go to develop it, they'll realise they can't extend it, they can't put on a garage or a carport because they don't have a point of discharge. I'm not prepared to stand back and have 30 properties left in this state. Indeed, this is why we're here looking at this catchment, because we have a significant number of properties in this catchment that don't have a point of discharge. We're right back at the beginning. Why would we go two-thirds of the way, three-quarters of the way, and leave a quarter of the houses untreated to have to come back? It's inequitable if we do that. We have a responsibility to treat this problem equitably for all properties in the catchment. I believe that's our responsibility as a council, and I believe that's what we should be doing. So I ask my fellow councillors to support the proposal before them. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Grivakostopoulos.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillors, it's also important to understand some of the background in this matter and the work that has been undertaken to date. The flood event that occurred back in 2011 of December resulted in the inhabitable floors of six homes being inundated with the Melbourne Hill Road catchment and taking account of initial community feedback that council officers developed a potential drainage scheme option. However, we know that the community was not supportive of this initial option and requested that council consider an environmentally sustainable alternative. Acknowledging the unique environmental and semi-rural nature of the Melbourne Hill Road catchment, in July 2014, Council resolved to engage the external environmental water management consultants to prepare a report evaluating the potential for alternate environmentally sustainable options. The consultants BMD, WMB, were awarded the contract in January of 2015 and detailed a floor model which developed, which included and confirmed that the entire catchment contributes to the flooding issues experienced in the catchment. It also indicated that the existing drainage system is significantly undersized, with a majority of floodwater conveyed overland, and reinforced the need for drainage improvements within this catchment. So extensive community consultation was undertaken, and the community were engaged in the development of several alternative scheme options, as well as the assessment values. Based on this analysis, the relative performance of the shortlisted schemes, the consultants recommended that schemes 2 and 4 be set aside and that only schemes 1 and 5 modified be further considered. Following community concern regarding the high cost of the two preferred schemes, the consultants were engaged to further investigate modifications to scheme 2 to develop a low-cost scheme option that would achieve similar habitable floor flood mitigation performance to schemes 1 and 5. Property owners within the catchment were surveyed, seeking their preferences. Amongst the three final shortlisted schemes, of the valid responses, the highest level of support was expressed for Scheme 5 and then Scheme 1, followed by the lowest cost option being Scheme 2.1. Councillors, while the Scheme 5 offers a marginal benefit in terms of Anderson Creek health outcomes, there are difficulties, as the private infrastructure would largely be funded by individual property owners. By comparison, the report found that Scheme 1 provides the following benefits. It achieves the core project habitable floor flood mitigation outcome requirements. While the scheme represents the highest cost of the options considered, it alleviates the need for any further drainage capital works within this catchment. Scheme 1 achieves the best results of the shortlisted schemes in terms of residual risk and safety outcomes. And while Scheme 1 involves works within the greatest number of properties, it delivers the greatest long-term benefits. This has been a thorough and exhaustive process, and I would like to thank the council officers and the community for the input throughout the project, and I ask that councillors adopt this recommendation.
Thank you. Anyone speak against? Councillor Gilberly.
Yes, Madam Mayor. I do not support this motion, and I ask that councillors vote against the officer's recommendation for Scheme 1. I foreshadow an alternate recommendation on the basis that Scheme 2.1 modified offers the same flood mitigation for this catchment as does Scheme 1, a result that as council we should not ignore. And I would like to correct our aim for even looking for a scheme was not point of discharge to all properties. The primary driver was flood mitigation. As partly funded by Living Waters Victoria, it didn't cost us a full $135,000, and we did receive $50,000 from Living Waters. Council appointed external consultants to investigate the sustainable flood mitigation options. At this point, to discount 2.1 is premature and irresponsible of this council. Table 152 on page 195 of Officer's Report clearly states that both Scheme 1 and Scheme 2.1 achieve the best and identical outcome on preventing flooding on habitable floor space. They both leave the same house without flood mitigation. The primary reason for a drainage scheme at Melbourne Hill Road, as I said before, is to achieve flood mitigation on habitable floor space. So, as a council, we are responsible for how ratepayers' money is spent. We should ensure that council achieves the best result for the least spent, that is value for money. So when we are given a choice between spending 2.2 million plus or 1.3 mil, that equates to an estimated $900,000 of ratepayers' money, and that is the difference. I suggest that this is the reason, and the reason enough to spend the extra $20,000 that officers are required to complete the investigation of how 2.1 could be modified to provide a higher safety rating. What still needs to be explored is what can be achieved. Number one, by reducing the length of the proposed valley drain along Melbourne Hill Road, this destructive work on private property will cause untold disruption and hardship for residents accessing their homes, as well as loss of natural habitat. By reducing the overland flow and increased safety ratings on Melbourne Hill Road, this can be achieved by, in preference to upgrading the already steep swales by deepening the already unsafe by 1 metre, or 0.1 metre, as described in Scheme 2.1, to install pipes and seal the roads instead. This will remove the issue of uneven and blocked culverts by debris, stop overflow running across the road and onto property, eliminating a safety risk and hazard of deep open drains.
Time. Anyone like to move an extension? Move by Councillor Goff, second by the Councillor McLeish. Everyone in favour? Okay. Let's carry.
Madam Mayor.
It's 2 more minutes.
Where was I up to? Finally, I would like your support for the alternate recommendation so this council can complete the investigation into a drainage scheme that is the best fit for this peri-urban catchment. Council undertook the task while working with the affected community via delegated reference panel. The community's three most important items for consideration are flood mitigation. This is achievable with 2.1. As modelled, with a little extra investigation, it can be improved. Financial cost, that was also very important. Scheme 2.1 is nearly $1 million cheaper than Scheme 1, which is the recommended scheme. Even with the $20,000 required to complete further investigation, it will still nearly equal $1 million save. The environmental cost. Any loss of trees in this peri-urban landscape will be devastating. It does have an environmental significance overlay. The officers report that any clearing of the trees will only have an impact in the short term, as there will be planting. They don't say by whom, but at whose cost. What they don't say also is that many trees are over 50 years old. Where will the native animals live in the meantime? The landscape will be changed for a very long time. This will have a negative impact on the value of property on Melbourne Hill Road area, because they will lose much of the character if Scheme 1 went ahead. When it's time to vote, please remember under the Local Government Act 1989, the primary objective of a council is to endeavour to achieve the best outcomes for local community, having regard for the long-term and cumulative effect of decisions, and it definitely isn't drainage. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone speak in favour? Councillor Downey.
Melbourne Hill has dominated our council agenda since March 2013. And when, you know, if it keeps on going, if I don't want it to define this council as the most important thing that we've been doing. It does concern me that it is going to cost our residents money to put this system in. But if I refer to point 4.8 of the report with the hardship conditions, then anyone who is finding it difficult, they can pay off in quarterly instalments. There is also the possibility for council a waiver of interest. So I think that for our residents, and we're leading to retirement, so I know the constraints of retirement and the constraints of money. So I think that this allows anyone who's concerned about the cost to know that it can be alleviated. I also want to speak that I was surprised that there's something this was so strongly felt in the community. There was only a 48% response to our survey, and but something where we were strongly feeling that really surprised me. Another thing that was raised with me today is the loss of the possible loss of 143 trees, and when I've spoken to officers, that's the worst case scenario. They are going to be working very hard to ensure the minimum loss of trees, so I think that that can be controlled. I'm also very concerned that if we were to go with any of the other schemes, then every house would not have a point of discharge. And I think that in a modern society, whether it's in a peri-rural area, and I live in a peri-rural area, that a point of discharge is important. Because that, if we do this scheme, everyone will have it and they'll be right forever. It's not that it's going to allow large-scale development, but as Councillor McLeish said, if anyone wants to put a carport or anything up and they don't have a point of discharge, they don't have to do that at their expense, and that could be really hard. The other thing, we have spent a lot of money on this. We've actually spent $89,000 of ratepayers' money, and I can think of a lot better things that $89,000 could have been spent on. We need to do something with the Warrandyte South Hall, which is sitting there. We need to do something with, as it happens, the Warrandyte South Cricket Pavilion. So there's a lot of other things that we need to do, and I can't justify spending all that money on. Another thing that was happened in earlier in the debate was it was said that we don't have the best engineers. Well, we spent $89,000 to show that we have very good engineers because the consultants have come up with the same solution as our engineers. So we spent $89,000 to say, yes, we've got great engineers. And I would like to congratulate our officers Woodlock and Alvarez. I think they've had a very hard time through this, and they work patiently through it. They've always, I've seen Mr. Woodlock sent emails at 9 o'clock on a Sunday night, so it really has been all consuming. We don't know how much time he has spent on it, but if we added the officer's time, it would be huge. So congratulations, Mr. Woodlock, and please pass on my congratulations to Mr. Alvarez. I think that you've worked long and diligently on this project, and I ask my councillors to support.
Thank you. Anyone speak against? No. If not,
I'd like to speak in favour of the motion.
Does anyone want to move to suspension of a standing order for this item only? Moved by the Councillor Downey, second by the Councillor Haynes. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Councillor Goff.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And I think it's a bit over 12 months ago I was standing here and saying that Council needs to make some hard decisions, but they need to make the right decisions. Indeed, I think that we have before us, and we've spent a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of angst to prove the fact that we were where we were 12 months ago. When you take that cost, that doesn't include the cost of officers' time, which would probably add, with all the officers working on it over the times that they're working, at least another 100 or more. And it doesn't take into account the increase in costs that is going to be to do something, because the longer you delay a project, 2013, another year or so before this gets underway, costs have risen. Water flows downhill. This was actually, it's strange, Madam Mayor, but the contention was that we could do something else. The contention was that we can miraculously take gradings that are very steep and make them into something very shallow with water retention and whatever. But when the 1 in 100 year storms come, there's no retention. The actual best thing for an environment, especially an environment with very little soil, is actually to have it get to a pipe very quickly and down through a pipe, not going over land, taking whatever soil is there with it down the hill. So if we look at environmentally friendly things for very rocky areas with soil to a depth of 4 to 8 inches at the max, you would actually say that environmentally sensitive areas need to have that water taken away and not going down at that level. The thing about this is that development was done there at a time when, early on, subdivision was done. The requirements weren't as stringent as they are today. The pipes that would have been put in were not to the standard that we would expect today to cope with things. And it was unknown about the effects of that. And this particular area was only one of many areas around Manningham that actually have this problem. And over the past 10, 15 years, we have been putting schemes exactly like this one, exactly the same, in one place, in another, and another, and another, and another. And we've also spent millions and millions of dollars upgrading our main drains to ensure that the future of Manningham is not going to have houses being inundated by floodwater. It had been a great priority of this council ever since I have been around on the council. And we've committed ourselves. And there are citizens all around Manningham that have had to put their hands in their pockets, and some Templestowe residents to over $30,000. And we've all stood here and said, yes, we need to do it.
Time.
It's taken a long time.
Do you need extension?
Yeah, an extension.
Moved by Councillor Downing, second by the Councillor Haines. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. We've got 2 more minutes.
Thank you, everyone, for their support. You know, we have going a long way about getting it all done, and we're finally at a stage where I think we need to make a decision. And sometimes councils have to make hard decisions, but they need to make right decisions. And the important thing is, you can't just dismiss the fact that a property does or doesn't have a point of discharge. Because if you don't have a point of discharge and you want to put a double driveway in, or put another driveway in, or put some hard surface around your house and pave it, or you want to put any extension, or you want to redevelop your property, you're going to have to find a point of discharge. And that might be through different neighbours' properties, and the whole total cost of getting a little drain from one place down there through other people's properties, because the other people will be forced to let you do it because you need to get the point of discharge. So one individual is going to be paying a bill which could be $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 to get that drain to go down to an actual point of discharge. It is important that we do this. It is important that we don't procrastinate even longer on this. I have a feeling, I may be wrong, but I have a feeling that it's all been about delaying and not wanting this outcome rather than a different outcome. But that's my feeling. I could be wrong about that, Madam Mayor. I think as a council, we need to actually make a decision on behalf of all of the community for all the reasons that Councillor Galbally told us about our rights, our responsibilities as a councillor, to make a good decision on behalf of the whole community. And that is not just the community that live in Manningham at the moment, but it's also the future community that is going to live in those properties in the future. So on that, I suggest that we support the officer's motion here.
Thank you. Anyone wish to speak? Councillor Haines.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I've been to a lot of these meetings, and I have live in a house that pretty much is on the same type of slope, and so this was real interest to me personally, and also around for the drainage schemes that we've been putting through and that I've seen in our area over 25 years. And my home, when I first bought it, was just a mud pile, and straight my car used to get bogged down the back, and we used to have to drag it out. So did my neighbours. When I decided to put a driveway in, I found out that I didn't have a point of discharge, and I was really mad. I was actually really mad at the fact that I had to spend almost $20,000, just under, to be able to concrete my drive outside of the normal cost of all that and the extension and everything else. So I was wondering why this was not done previously, and I was told by council that homes were supposed to have done it and that not every house had been monitored or kept an eye on. Now, I don't know about anyone else, but I don't know how a council could do that. But I do know that we are now putting things in place to give people points of discharge, so when they do have these issues, they can be dealt with. And I know that some will say it's because I'm not in an environmentally friendly area, but I don't know about anyone, but if you've been bogged in your own backyard, it doesn't matter really where you are. It's not fun. And And part of the part as a, that was just as a resident, I went to all these meetings. And as a councillor, I've had to consider the fact that it could be for each person have to deal with that as they need to, as I did. But as a councillor, I've come up with the conclusion that I need to take a stand and be able to support a drainage scheme so people aren't put in that position in the future. And also the other reason for me to stand for this motion is for the flood mapping that is being done across the state at the moment, and the things that are going to occurring with the notice of public's exhibition for the amendment C109 for the Manningham planning scheme. I've just been handed a letter to say that my house is in a flood prone area. Now anyone that goes to my house would know that you'd have to actually have the freeway underwater, and also my house is over a metre off the ground. It's actually on stumps. So I've had to ask the question, why am I in the flooded area? And it's saying that it's subject to overflows. It doesn't mean my house will flood. And I'm able to now have a look at the reasons why government sometimes uses words that aren't appropriate from a typical understanding. And I'm happy that I now have a greater understanding of what goes on my land and what the government believes and suggests and what it is that they're doing from all different levels to be able to put in place the safety and the requirements for each and every member of the community, for anyone that wants to put to live on the land here in Manningham. So I'm for it. I actually think we need to do more of it, especially with this flood mapping that's coming. And I'm grateful that we've actually gone through the process of spending the money to be able to have a look at the schemes and all the differences and our engineers and all the reports. So then we can use the money that all of the community of Manningham have paid for to be able to have a look at this. So then we can see in the future when there's another drainage scheme to come across to say, well, there's a very extensive report as to why we need to go forward. So as much as some people see it as a waste of money, I see it that we've benefited from it and that the Manningham community will be able to move forward and continue to put drainage schemes that are necessary in place.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak? If not, Councillor McLeish, would you like to wrap up?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is one of those decisions that we seem to need the wisdom of Solomon on, because no matter what happens here, there are people who are not going to be happy. Finished, Councillor? We have we've listened to our community, we've consulted broadly, we haven't done the job perfectly, but we've done the job very well. We've extended boundaries on the scheme, we've made design changes, we've put in spoon drains and not curb and channel. There are a whole list of other things that have changed in this scheme as a result of community feedback. In the end, this is council's responsibility. We cannot, on one hand, address concerns of residents about flooding, address concerns that previous councils did not build this infrastructure, and on the other hand, only partially build the infrastructure ourselves. We have to build the infrastructure for the catchment. We have to address all of the homes in the catchment, not just one, two, three quarters. Scheme 2.1 certainly provides the same flood relief. You get only one house inundated, but only three quarters of the houses end up with a point of discharge. One quarter are left without a point of discharge. That is inequitable. It would be just as inequitable were previous councils' failure to build this being proposed. If we were looking at what previous councils did and trying to do the same thing now. And it's also other developers that have not built infrastructure. And we can't repeat the mistakes of the past. We must move forward. We must address the concerns in this catchment, and we must deliver this project for the benefit of our wider community. We as a council pay a significant amount towards the cost of these projects. We pay far more than any of our neighbouring councils. We contribute very substantially to the cost of these projects, unlike many other municipalities. That relieves the ratepayers in these areas of that cost, and the wider community bears it in their rates. If we weren't doing that, the residents who are impacted here today would be bearing even more cost. I think on balance, the right decision is to go ahead with what has been proposed, and I ask that councillors support it.
Thank you. I now put a motion. All those in favour? Against? That's carried.
Division.
Division. All those in favour? Councillor Haines, Councillor McLeish, Councillor Goff, Councillor Downey, Councillor Griboukos-Dobolos, Councillor Young. Against? Councillor O'Brien, Councillor Kiner, and Councillor Galbally. And that is carried.